Welcome to the WP Builds Podcast, bringing you the latest news, interviews, and fun for the WordPress community. Now, welcome your host, Nathan Wrigley.
Hello there, and welcome once again to the WP Builds Podcast. You've reached episode number 424, entitled Revolutionizing WordPress Theme Management with Brad Williams and Theme Switcher Pro. It was published on Thursday, the 12th of June, 2025. My name's Nathan Wrigley, and a few bits of housekeeping before we jump into the podcast with Brad. The first thing to mention is I was so happy to meet so many people over at WordCamp EU. It happened in Switzerland last week. It was a real pleasure to meet so many of you. If our paths cross but we didn't manage to exchange email addresses or what have you, please feel free to reach out to me on X. You can find me at WP Builds or on Blue Sky, that is at nathanwrigley.com, either of those places. Hopefully I will get back to you soon. Thank you so much for anybody that had anything to do with organising that event. It was truly spectacular, and I hope that you enjoyed it if you attended, and maybe we'll see you in Poland next year. The next thing to mention is that if you like what we do at WP Builds, head over to our subscribe page, wpbuilds.com/subscribe, sign up for our newsletter there, and follow us on all the different channels. So there's YouTube and Facebook and X and Blue Sky and all of that mentioned. We'd really appreciate it. If you enjoy this episode, don't forget to give us some kind of rating. That really does help to surface the podcast in front of other newer members of the podcasting audience, so we would really appreciate that. And last, but by no means least, if you would like to get your product or service out in front of a WordPress-specific audience, because that is in fact what we have, head to wpbuilds.com/advertise to find out more. And we would love to get you in front of that audience, a bit like these three fine companies. The WP Builds Podcast is brought to you today by GoDaddy Pro. GoDaddy Pro, the home of managed WordPress hosting that includes free domain, SSL, and 24/7 support. Bundle that with the Hub by GoDaddy Pro to unlock more free benefits to manage multiple sites in one place, invoice clients, and get 30% off new purchases. Find out more at go.me/WPBuilds. We're also joined by Bluehost. Bluehost, redefine your web hosting experience with Bluehost Cloud. Managed WordPress hosting that comes with lightning-fast websites, 100% network uptime, and 24/7 priority support. With Bluehost Cloud, the possibilities are out of this world. Experience it today at bluehost.com/cloud. And also by Omnisend. Omnisend, do you sell your stuff online? Then meet Omnisend. Yes, that Omnisend. The email and SMS tool that helps you make $73 for every dollar spent. The one that's so good, it's almost boring. Hate the excitement of rollercoaster sales? Prefer a steady line going up? Try Omnisend today at omnisend.com. And sincere thanks go to GoDaddy Pro, Bluehost, and Omnisend for their ongoing and continuing support of the WP Builds Podcast. Podcasts like this cannot happen without the help of fine companies like that. Okay, what have we got for you today? Well, today I am talking with Brad Williams. Brad Williams is a stalwart in the WordPress space. He's been around for many, many years. No doubt you've heard about him from various products and podcasts and things like that. And today we're talking about something called Theme Switcher Pro. And honestly, I've no idea why a product like this hasn't existed for ages. It enables you to have multiple themes happening at the same time on your WordPress website. So this post over here could be legacy theme X, and this post over here could be brand new full site editing theme. And the idea is that you can mix and match. It might be something that you want to have permanently so that you can have multiple themes on a particular website, or it might be something that you want to use as you're transitioning from your legacy theme to your brand new theme. There's loads of different scenarios for how it might work, and we get into the weeds of how it's all put together. And I really do think this is something incredibly unique in the WordPress space. And so I hope that you enjoy listening to Brad talk about it. I am joined on the podcast by Brad Williams. Hello, Brad.
Hey, Nathan. Thanks for having me.
Brad and I have, we kind of think we may have met in a corridor once, maybe Not sure.
The hallway track.
The hallway track.
And that's where everybody meets.
That's right.
Initially.
Yeah.
And then we eventually podcast together, yeah, and then we become good friends.
That's it. So we're going to be
best friends. That's the natural progression of WordPress people.
Going to be best friends after this. Brad Williams, if you don't know him, is like a complete stalwart in the WordPress space. I don't quite know why I know you. Like, in other words, I don't know the initial moment that your name became part of my vocabulary, but it's going back a long time. You're one
it
of
is.
Those people who just seems to have been around doing the right thing for a long time. So congratulations. Well done.
Thanks. Thank you. I mean, we did it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, no, I appreciate that, Nathan. And you know, you're right. You know, we're in our 17th year as an agency, Web Dev Studios, focused solely on WordPress as a platform. You know, looking at that kind of mid-tier to enterprise level type of projects. So yeah, we've been around. You know, we were back when we started in 2008. You know, WordPress was very much blogging. It was a great blogging tool, you know, and that's all it was. And it had very small market share, but it was out there. And that's where, you know, started getting involved pretty early when that got very involved in the community, helped run a number of WordCamps. I'm in Philadelphia, so I helped co-organize the first 5 WordCamp Phillies.
Nice.
And helped co-organize the first 2 WordCamp US events in Philadelphia. So really just like, you know, getting out there and being involved in the community and the space for, you know, 17 plus years. Just meet a lot of people, know a lot of people. A lot of people have heard of us, whether they work with us or not. They're just kind of aware of some of the things we've done,
yeah,
especially publicly within the community and ways we've contributed.
Yeah, and we'll get touch on some of that and how it might remove the need for serendipity and fluke, if you like, a little bit later. I always, your agency, Web Dev, it always comes up, like there's 2 or 3 names that kind of have that same power, if you know what I mean. You know who they are. I don't need to say them out loud, but you know who your competitors are, I'm sure. But there's just a handful of those agencies that are kind of like that enterprise level that you associate with the big websites, the important websites. And I can only imagine how many sleepless nights it has taken to create, to forge that. So again, well,
yeah,
done.
I mean, it's interesting because that wasn't the plan going in, right? It was just to build websites and have fun and work with good people. And then over time, it just grew. It really, like, timing and luck have a lot to do with everything in life, right? And business and life, like, the luck factor is always something that's so hard to, you can't plan for it, but it's there, right? So the idea of, you know, WordPress really started to grow and take off as we were starting to grow as a company. So our kind of trajectory kind of lined up with WordPress as its market share grew, and certainly as bigger brands and companies started to look at WordPress as a viable option, you know, we were right there,
yeah,
at the top saying, hey, this is all we do is WordPress. You know, we're laser focused on it. We specialize in it. All the content we write about it, we contribute, we release plugins, you know, so everything we're doing is was and still is focused on WordPress. So certainly early on, that made us really stand out with some of those other agencies you talked about. And we're all friends, which is kind of weird, but I know all those owners. We're all friends. We compete. It's fun. You know, I like to beat those agencies. They like to beat me, right? So it's kind of a weird dynamic because we're all friendly. We work together, like, through the Scale Consortium, which we could talk about,
yeah,
too, but
yeah,
kind of
okay,
contributing to WordPress in the enterprise space around content. So while, yes, we are competitors, I think it's an interesting dynamic in the WordPress space because even in the product space, you see it too within WordPress, but We're all friends. We're all friendly. We hang out at WordCamps. We've kind of grown our businesses and grown up together in a sense. And in many ways, I have monthly one-on-ones with a lot of other WordPress agency owners, and it is just a place to vent, share advice, ideas with someone that is in a similar situation as me that has to deal with things that, you know, day in and day out running a business.
Yeah,
and you need to have someone at that level that you can kind of share advice with and sometimes just vent, but somebody that's at that level that can understand.
Yeah, it's
because they've been there.
Really, right? Truly, so bizarre. Because if you were to walk into almost any other industry where competition was the point, I suppose, in a sense, you'd just have a completely different experience. You know, everything would,
right,
be locked down. There'd
you
be
would.
None of those, like, Zoom calls that you've just described.
No,
everything
they're
would
not
be
working together.
Under cloak and dagger.
And I think hosting is more like that,
yeah, maybe,
right? Like,
yeah,
because hosting is definitely more cutthroat even in the WordPress space, and I feel like hosting is just, it's been around longer than WordPress, right? It is the beginning of the internet. There were hosts, right? So I feel like there's just more of a cutthroat industry,
yeah,
But outside of that, yeah, it's the community really vibes together, you know, and I feel like we're all just trying to help each other figure this thing out
as we go.
Okay. Which is the open source mentality.
Well, it is.
That's
you're
why
right.
We like open
source.
Yeah,
you're absolutely right. I mean, I do countless podcasts where that is kind of the main thrust of it all. And it's absolutely fascinating that that thing hangs together at all. It's completely brilliant. I feel so pleased that I ended up in the WordPress space. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, imagine if we'd have hung our coats on a different CMS. We could, you know, things could have worked out. Very
who knows? I mean, it's hard to say, like, because back when we started, we were doing different open source platforms. We definitely were focused on open source, but not mm-hmm. only WordPress. Mm-hmm. So we were using Drupal, Joomla, Expression Engine at the time, Zencart, which I think Expression Engine was like dual license. I don't think it was fully open source. But anyways, we're using a lot of different platforms, and they all had kind of this, you know, single digit market share in some capacity, right? But then, like you said, we kind of really liked working with WordPress. It was intuitive. It was kind of easy to develop on, easier than some of the other platforms. And our clients really liked it.
Yeah.
It was intuitive for them, right? So that's what really kind of cemented the idea. We just need to go all in on WordPress, because all the other platforms we're using, Drupal, Zencart, the admin experience was very difficult. It was not intuitive. And again, this was, you know, 15 plus years ago.
It just looked really ugly. Everything looked ugly in comparison to WordPress, I think.
Like Drupal was built by developers for
Absolutely.
Developers, right? Like it's an amazing tool that can build amazing things. Yeah. And it's come a long way, right? I don't want to say current Drupal is like this, but certainly I'm talking like Drupal 6 or 5, you know, like you could build anything you want, but it's not super intuitive to the clients.
No.
And a lot of the admin UI had to be kind of crafted and built in a way, customized for them.
Pretty hard on the
eye.
Which
is just extra work. So.
Yeah.
But you're right, it's interesting to see the path of these different projects over the years.
Yeah, well, thank you. That's an interesting little aside. We weren't intending to have that. We're actually here today to talk about a new product. And let me just get it out right away. It is Theme Switcher Pro, and you're going to find it at themeswitcher.com. Neat name, by the way. Quite
Thanks.
That's kind of neat.
I was surprised that was available.
Yeah, me too.
So.
That just seems like...
as soon as I saw it, I was like, well,
two
that's
words,
clearly
two actual English words combined. Okay, give us the elevator pitch. Tell the audience what it is, and then we'll dig into how it works and maybe some of the constraints and things that it's best at.
Yeah, I mean, the elevator pitch is that it is a premium WordPress plugin that allows you to run multiple themes on a single installation of WordPress. So at a highest level, that's what it does. When you start to break it down, what that really means is, it means a lot of things, but the primary thing it means for us is we are... have seen a huge uptick in leads and even current clients that are wanting to transition to the block editor, the Gutenberg block editor, right? So there are still millions and millions of websites out there running classic WordPress. They have the classic editor plugin installed. They're still using the WYSIWYG editor for all their content. It could even be the majority of WordPress websites. I'd be very interested to know some of the numbers around that. But there are just millions of sites that are essentially kind of stuck, right? Maybe they like their website. Maybe they like the look of it. Maybe they don't. But they know the editor is challenging. And they know the block editor exists at this point, right? They don't know how to get there without the traditional, let's rebuild the website from the ground up, right? That's obviously one path to get there, of course. But what we've seen in the past couple of years is it's harder to get those type of budgets and projects approved. You know, it's harder to say, hey, we want to rebuild the website because we want this new editor. And maybe we'll refresh the design a bit, but it's really because of the editor. Like going up to your executive to say, we need to redo our website because the editor needs to be upgraded is a tough sell. So we devised this theme switcher. Really, it came from a couple client projects where we were like, hey, why don't we build out a system where we can selectively replace pages, sections, templates within the website with a new theme. So what that would allow us to do is iteratively over time, so maybe 6 months, 12 months, we can replace specific sections from the classic editor to the new block editor. So a good example is, worked with a client, 90% of their traffic, over 90% goes right to their article pages. It's a big media site. All their traffic goes right to the articles that they want to read, right? So the homepage is very small amount of traffic. So we actually built out a new block theme for them, mimic the header and footer of the old site, and then styled up all the blocks. And then we were able to selectively swap out just the single article template to use a new block-based theme. So the header and footer match. So to the end user or the visitor, there's no difference there. So it's not a jarring experience thinking they left the website, right? But then all the content between the header and footer is using Gutenberg and the block editor. So this is like massively empowered their editors. It gave them, you know, the power of the block editor. And they only had to replace one template with a new theme on their website. So it took this project that could have easily been a six-figure project and we're able to knock this out in a couple months. And this was, again, before we fully productized this. So now it's just a matter of turning on this plugin, downloading another theme into WordPress, into your themes directory. Ollie's a good one. I like to use a good example. It's a great theme. And then you can immediately start producing new content using Ollie or another block theme. Immediately at the page level, you can say, I want this new about page to run whatever theme you want. And as soon as you do that, it switches not only the front end, but it also reloads the whole back end because it has to load all those theme assets into the block editor, things like the blocks, the patterns, those all become available. So as soon as you say, my new about page is going to run on Ollie, even though the rest of my website's running classic WordPress, classic editor, now I have all the Ollie patterns, you know, I have all the Ollie blocks. Within a couple clicks, I've launched a new landing page running Ollie. And meanwhile, the rest of my site's on the old system. So it's really empowered us and our clients to approach these kind of revamps or upgrades in a very different way and giving our clients options. So we've built Theme Switcher Pro as a standalone plugin, not only for us, but for website administrators. They could use this directly on their own. Agencies, freelancers could also use this, another tool in their belt to go to their clients to say, hey, we know you don't have the time or the budget to redo your whole website. We also know you want the block editor. We now have a solution where we can do this iteratively, and they could start producing block content as quickly as you want to allow it. And honestly, within a matter of a few minutes on some sites, right? So you can install the plugin, download a theme, and start creating content with that theme immediately. So it's a really big game changer. There's a lot of use cases, a lot of ways you could use this, but at the base level, that's really how we're promoting it and using it. We also have clients using it just for landing pages. They have no intention of ever replacing their main theme, but they needed some themes that are more focused on landing page marketing material. So they're able to just launch rapid landing pages outside of their current theme and design. Again, in a matter of hours, because they're now able to use the block editor, when before it would take a matter of weeks because they would have to build it all out in the classic editor and then get developers to come in behind them and style it up, align those images, get it looking really good. So it took weeks and developer support to get these things live. I'm sure people listening probably have similar experiences or have seen that, right? So Theme Switcher Pro is another tool that could help with that. So
from everything that you've just described, and I could be parsing this wrong, and I probably am, in fact, it sounded like in the illustrations that you just gave, you were going from classic theme to block theme. Mm-hmm. Is there a constraint around that? Or can you do classic and another classic? Can you do block and another block? Am I just mishearing?
I mean, you could be a psycho and go block to classic. Yeah, right. Like okay. it 100% okay. Works that way, right? So yeah. It's very unopinionated, right? It is built to run themes in WordPress. And it's built in a way to be, one, to be very performant. So we're running this on high traffic sites. We have this on a VIP site. So that was very important to us, right? We can't integrate something that just starts reloading themes without kind of considering performance impact, what happens with massive amounts of load, right? So it's built in a very, very performant way, a lot of caching integrations, you know, to make sure that it's not always just querying to figure out what theme every page loads. So a lot of flexibility there in terms of how it'd be, you know, built, how it'd be integrated. Kind of losing my train of thought here.
No, it's okay. So I'll follow up with another question. So, okay, so any configuration of any kind of theme, we got classic, we got block, yep. That's it. And I know what's going to happen. Block, yeah. I know what's going to happen. If it's possible, 25 themes, each page with a different theme. It's inevitable. Yeah. Not that you're going to approve this message, but is that possible? Could you?
I mean, it's very possible. Like in our testing, my testing, you know, internally, like this is exactly what we're doing, right? Because it's impossible to say we've tested this on every theme and every scenario, right? There's just no way we can 100% stand by that statement. But what we can stand by is the fact that we built this per the WordPress coding standards, the API standards. We built this the right way, right? And we've done some massively thorough testing on the most popular classic themes and block themes and page builders. So, but there is no restrictions. You could have 10 different block themes, 10 different classic themes running across all sorts of sites. The only disclaimer there is just, you know, to make sure you don't build yourself a Frankenstein that comes impossible to manage, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah, exactly.
But in my testing, homepage, a different theme, you know, I mean, running Astra on the homepage, like 2023 on single articles. I'm running Ollie on pages and on just a couple pages. Like, and it's kind of neat when you start to see that, because then it's like, is it a realistic scenario? Not really, but the fact that it works and I can just literally every page I'm clicking on, it's loading a different theme and giving me different options. is kind of mind blowing. It really starts to open up the idea of there's no real limits to what you can do here.
Yeah.
It's very, very flexible. And that was the intention of this tool.
I'm kind of imagining a scenario where, you know, inexperienced people are, I need like the Christmas theme. So I'll just, yeah. I'll have that. And then there's like an Easter theme I quite like the look of. We'll load that one up as well.
those are fun examples because while the ThemeSwitcher Pro has a built-in UI, it's very kind of somewhat global, somewhat individual. So you can say it across all post types or specific post types. You can say, all right, all my posts are going to run Ollie, right? All my pages are going to run whatever, Astra. Maybe you have a movies custom post type. All my movies are going to run 2025, whatever. So it's very flexible on that. Now, the UI it gives you some options like that around custom post types, around taxonomy archives, and also around the front page, swapping out your front page. If you want to take it further and get even more granular, you can actually control this entire plugin via code. So it's very important to us, right? Like the idea of having an admin UI, that's great for testing and stuff, but most likely, if you go into production with this, you don't want an admin to accidentally go in there and change some settings. That could swap out themes or do something like that.
Yeah.
So you could actually configure this through code and manage it through your Git repositories. And that makes it even more granular. So now you're exposed to basically all the conditionals within WordPress. So you could, within the code, say, okay, if today is December 25th,
okay,
locale, if it's we're going to run our Christmas theme, right? And then the very next day, it just switches back because it's very much a time-based. Or you could say, we're making a joke. I'm actually working on a post for next month. There is a Friday the 13th. So one of the examples I'm going to share is let's build a ThemeSwitcher Pro integration that only runs on Friday the 13th, right? So just with a couple lines of code and using the plugin, you can do that. So like just kind of coming up with those silly, fun, like unique. Is someone going to do that? Probably not. But it's a good example of how flexible and granular this could be. Is you could say, hey, if it's Nathan, he's logged in and Nathan comes back. Hey, I got a theme just for Nathan because he's such an important user, right? So you could attach it to user accounts. You could attach it to time of day. You could get real crazy and even hook into APIs and say, okay, if it's raining wherever they're at, maybe you want to show a rainy day theme, like they're interesting examples, but when you start getting to the enterprise level of projects, this is what these companies are doing.
Yeah.
We worked with a very large company that sells soup. Really good soup, right? And they know that they have the data to back this up, but if it is a rainy, cold day, soup sales go up. 100 guaranteed soup sales go up, right? So now imagine integrating environmental API data,
which we did on
some of their websites to say, hey, Brad's logged in from Philadelphia. It's raining and cold in Philly right now. Let's put a nice hero section, a big warm bowl of soup with the steam coming off of it, and it converts. Like there is data that converts. So like, while it sounds a little bit silly, but when you get an enterprise, these are the things that they're looking at because of that type of market analysis, research, psychological, like when people buy stuff and why they research all that. They know that. So they like to try things like that. Say, hey, let's integrate
that. It kind of did sound silly until you backed it up with the soup example. And then
it does,
it doesn't sound silly at all. If you can convert.
One of my favorite examples, because people don't think about, like location based. Okay,
right.
If you're in the US or in Europe, things change. Okay, that's pretty standard. But like, it knows it's raining where I'm at and it's changing things because of that. That is a lot of not only where the web has been going, but I think it's going to continue to go that way. That ultra personalized.
Right. I was just about to say,
So it's taking it even further, almost maybe even a scary level. Like if websites start to, every time I log into a website, it's always raining because it's raining outside. I don't know if that's a good thing or not, but.
One thing about the name of the plugin. So it's called ThemeSwitcher Pro. When I came across the name and then read a little bit about it, it kind of felt like the product really was to try and guide you from, okay, there's the theme you're stuck with. Here's the theme you're trying to get to.
Yep.
It kind of felt like that. But I don't know. From everything that you've just said, it kind of feels like you're also leaning into, have two themes and just keep running with two themes. Or are you is it more of a bridging solution for, you've got a million posts on this one website. You want to take it easy. You just want to ease your way into this new theme. Mm-hmm. I didn't know if it was one or both or either.
It's really kind of both. I think that really that's part of the marketing challenge around it's a new product, a new idea, is making it clear that there are you know, options here, right? So the idea of if, and it really comes down to kind of making sure you have a plan or at least an idea of what your goal is when you're using a plugin like this, right? Like for someone where we're trying to transition them fully off a classic editor over to the block editor, the end goal is that we deactivate this plugin and fully activate the block editor theme and remove the classic theme completely, delete it, right? That's the end goal. Because we do want to sunset the old theme.
Right.
And once the new theme is fully online, running the entire website, it's as simple as removing our plugin and just activating the theme and you're done, right? Now, I also mentioned like the landing page examples, those type of clients and those integrations, they don't have any plans to remove Theme Switcher. They're just using it to run multiple themes, one for their landing campaigns and one for their primary website. So it is absolutely a tool that could stay on your website forever. That you just want to run multiple themes. A good example, I had a great conversation with Chris Badgett over at Lifter. Mm-hmm. This is an awesome example, and we're going to work up some content to really show this. But one of the challenges with Lifter, it's an amazing plugin, an LMS, learning management system for WordPress. It's a plugin, right? So if I have an established website and I want to, you know, integrate a learning management system and I activate Lifter, they have a Lifter theme called SkyPilot.
Yeah.
It's designed, works amazing with Lifter. Everything just works well with the platform. Problem is you can only run SkyPilot as your theme,
right,
your main theme. So to get people to use it, they have to activate it and replace their theme, which almost nobody wants to do.
That's a perfect example. Yeah.
Now Lifter has a great option. Hey, if you don't want to do that using Theme Switcher Pro, you can use our theme just for the LMS sections of your website, right? So those are other use cases where I could see people using Theme Switcher Pro permanently. LMSs, WooCommerce, which we're doing a lot of testing on now. It's partial support, but we're expecting to have full support probably in a few weeks. WooCommerce, maybe use a WooCommerce theme just for your store. So under /store and anything under the store runs WooCommerce theme, and everything else runs whatever theme you're currently running.
That's such a good example. The LMS example is perfect because we all know that the back. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's fairly minimal what you need back in there, isn't it? You know, you just want to lay out the courses and what have you. But on the front end, there's probably a lot more design work that needs to go into the actual web page.
There is. There's the coursework. There's like the login, the whole path to doing courses, certification, receiving the dashboard areas. Yeah. Like all of that has been, they've made sure, of course, as you expect, their theme, it looks beautiful on all of those sections, all those pages. Your theme most likely will not. It'll look okay, but it's not going to look really tight and just amazing out of the box, right? So this gives them an option. So working on partnership deals with different products where that's a really good fit, because now our product can help Lifter, you know, potentially make more sales.
That's
definitely some partnership angles we're exploring and talking to. But any product out there that's like that, traditionally the only other answer would be either subdomain it and have a separate install completely or multi-site, you know, WordPress multi-site, again, it's kind of like a separate install. It's in the network, of course, but it's like, so, and we love multi-site, just to be clear. This is not a replacement for multi-site, but this very much could be an alternative to multi-site. If the only reason you're using multi-site is to do something like I just described, this could be an alternative where you don't need to go down that road and you can just run a different theme for those features.
You need to quickly go out and buy the domain multiplethema.com or something like that. I don't know. Because it does feel like, it feels like the switch a bit, you know, the move from one to the other is going to become a subset of what it does. I really have an intuition that if we were to come back and do this podcast again in a couple of years, I could be completely wrong, I'm predicting that a lot of your users will be running multiple themes intentionally with no intuition to switch any of them off.
There's no real downside to it. Like I said, it's built very performant, you know, so the only real thing you need to make sure is if you're running two themes, you're managing two code bases. Right now, if it's another theme off the shelf, you know, they're going to push out updates. You just need to make sure you test them and update it. But if it's your own code base, then of course, you know, now you have two code bases you need to support. But that's all you need to really think about is like, you know, how do you support this integrated? And I do, again, think this is a really interesting tool for freelancers and other companies, not just for us to use, but for other companies to use. Because again, if your client's stuck and they're saying, look, I can't afford a rebuild. All right, well, let's use this plugin.
Yeah.
Maybe we just, again, there mimic you your go. Header footer and the style up theme JSON, so much more minimal project, and then they can start producing content using that new block theme almost immediately.
And then
you help them chip away.
Right. And you can feed out the website migration process to this new theme over 12 months instead of it's all got to be done by, I don't know, a month from today. It can be, okay, we'll tackle the posts on month one. We'll tackle some of these subset pages.
So it gives you some nice ongoing work, retainer style work. It works. It's a good solution for your clients, knowing, you know, it's more budget friendly. It also, it's not just money thing. It's a time thing, right? Like rebuilding a website is a massive amount of time and focus that company are those people the company have to spend with you and your team to do it right. That the time is a cost too, not just the dollar amount that they're spending on it. So you also, it also allows us to say, hey, we can do this and I don't need your laser focused attention for 3 months.
Yeah.
Right? We're going to chip away at this. All I need is some direction and decisions on what sections we want to start with. Some people like to go all in on the most impactful sections. Some want to start maybe like, let's just do our about page, you know,
yeah,
see what happens.
Yeah, exactly that. So. Yeah, exactly that. That seems like the perfect example. So on the inside, if you're logged into WordPress, you know, you activate a theme and then the theme is the thing. And, you know, if it's the classic theme, you hit heading into the customizer to mess mm-hmm. about with things. And if it's the it's a block theme, you're in the site editor, and you know, you've just got that one place where you go, how does this work? How do you interact and customize one of the themes and then sort of flip over and mm-hmm. customize the other? How does it actually yeah. work?
Yeah, that's another good question, because you know, some themes you activate and they just are what they are, yep. right? Like I think the core themes are a good example of that, right? 2025. So it's a nice looking theme. It is what it is. There's not really options, sections, you know, it just all uses the block editor. So basically within the plugin, we have some debug settings, because that was something we realized early on. Like, what if the theme has settings, right? Not block editor, but like actual settings yeah. in the theme section. How do we get to that? Because yeah. we have to get in there and configure it. So we've actually built within the tool, we have a couple debug features. One's a debug bar that kind of shows you what's going on. Here's your main theme. Here's what switched and here's why. So if you're debugging, gives you a little bit of insight. But the other feature, which is really powerful, is a theme previewer. So you can actually, on your front end, if you enable this, you can pick any theme you have and just flip the front end on. It's not going to save. It is just to look at it.
Yeah.
And I will say the caveat is, you know, if you flip like the classic page and say, all right, let's see what this looks like in Otter. It's not using blocks, right? But it is going to incorporate all those Otter styling. So it's interesting to kind of preview and play. But what we discovered is it's a great solution for the admin. So you can go into the admin and say, let me preview Otter on the dashboard, and then it loads Otter, and now I can go into the settings, make any changes I want, and it saves them where it needs to, and then you're done. The other thing we came across too, and Otter is another good example, many themes are like this, where it's more, you know, site editor integration, right? So if I'm building a one page on Otter, but the rest of my site's running something else, but one page, you know, there's also this kind of higher up template in the hierarchy of, you know, header footer stuff, right? So, because it has, you know, Otter is a full site editor, like you have the header footer kind of baked into your template. So again, within the block editor, you can see that the template it's attached to, and you can go right into the block editor and edit it that way too. So, you know, Ollie has kind of a base footer that has hard-coded links to Ollie. So I was able to edit that template and just remove them and update them. So I launched part of my marketing campaign around this we're working on is on themeswitcher.com. We're building and launching landing pages using different themes just to show it. Like, here it is. Here's the theme. I'm running on our site. You know, run it through PageSpeed Insights, you know, test it out, like see what you think. But like just to kind of show that off. So we have an Ollie one we've launched and I'm working on a few others. But again, I put Ollie, the theme, on themeswitcher.com, set up the conditional switch logic and, you know, create a new page. And just change the content so it's theme switcher specific, and it took me maybe 20 to 30 minutes.
Nice.
Between putting Ollie on the site to actually publishing that. So it's such a game changer when you realize how quickly you can start producing block content when you weren't able to prior to that.
Yeah, so. I think that's going to be a big, well, it would certainly be if I was in charge of this project, that would be a big part of the blog posting that I'd be doing is you know, leaning into the new, well, it's not new anymore, the block editor, and trying to convert people yeah. over to the power of blocks and what have you.
Yeah, that's the big push. It's classic to blocks, but like you said, it could be block to block. It could be five different block yeah. themes, and there's there for different reasons. Like, it doesn't have to be classic to block. It's just
you're going to get such fun themes support
and you set
requests.
The conditionals.
Just
yeah,
I've got these 19 themes.
I know, and that's honestly a very conscious decision of why we did not release a version on .org. Because there could be a significant support element to this, right? So I want to make sure, one, we're putting our best foot forward with support. It's not just the free form support, right? So there's a cost to this, and it's to make sure, you know, one, you're buying it from us, we're a reputable company, we've been doing this for a long, long time, but two, I have an amazing support team that's here to help you, right? So I want to make sure we're building an amazing product, but also helping you, with whatever that integration of the product looks like. We want you to use it, of course. We want you to have some success with it.
Yeah.
So we're here to help.
The interesting thing here is, why the heck is it been until the year 2025 for somebody to come up with what on the face of it seems like a bit of a no-brainer idea? I mean, maybe somebody's tried this in the past and failed. I've not heard of that.
It's not as easy as...
Okay, here we go.
I'm not saying it was technically, that was the reason there isn't this. Uh-huh. Like, 'cause I was we did a lot of market research on this, and I'm just like, look, there are ways to switch themes. There's a few random plugins out there. And we tested them all out, and they're not built for block editor. You know, they somewhat work a little bit, but the hardest piece of this building this product was the block editor. And actually what happens when you switch the theme in the block editor or in the editor period, because like we said, all those assets have to load, and they have to load at the exact right load order to work. And it's not just hook on this filter and you're done. It was a bit more complicated than that, quite a bit more complicated. So we spent a lot of time on that integration piece because, you know, even again, you switch that theme, and if you just hit save draft, as soon as it's going to switch the theme in the back end, and the things that happen behind the scenes, it's a lot. Like it's loading in the entire theme. It's loading in all the patterns and styles and blocks that come with that theme, and anything else that comes with that theme in the editor. Even though it just looks like the normal block editor, all that stuff has just happened behind the scenes, and that was a big technical lift. So while just saying, hey, activate this theme instead of that theme is one line of code in WordPress, that is very much missing the point, and you're going to have a bad time if that's all you're doing, because it's not actually going to load what you need. Blocks will not work. You've got a lot of problems. We really built this to work with modern WordPress, work with classic WordPress, and really build it by devs for devs. It's a solid product. And you're right. I don't know why someone hasn't really come across this. I thought maybe I was missing something. But everything I found talks about a plugin that's older and barely supports a block editor and is not something I would ever even consider in production. So
well, you hit a nice
plus
rich
a lot
vein.
Of times, like, yeah, and a lot of, you know, when we look at plugins for our clients, I want to make sure there's a company behind it. I want to make sure there's a team. I want to make sure it's well supported before I bring that to a client, right? So that is also the difference between something.org, which doesn't mean it's not well supported, but many times there's one or two devs behind it and they just throw things out there. And it may not be, there's no pro support, you know what I mean? Or premium. So you want to put this out there. This is a solid product built by a reputable company with a name that you can trust. So
it's curious. I don't know if you do the same thing as I do, but when I go to a new website, nothing specifically to do with WordPress, but I definitely do it when I find new plugins. My journey is land on website. Then I go, basically, I end up on the pricing page more or less immediately. And then the next thing I do is to try and find the About Us page.
Yeah,
that is my journey, because first of all, I mean, I want to know, can I afford it? And then if the answer is yes to that, I want to know who these people are.
Who's behind it?
Yeah, I do. I really do. Because
that's solid advice. There's a lot of anonymous stuff out there around WordPress.
Yeah.
And some of it may be amazing, but you're right. If you don't know who's behind it, if there's not even one person's name, then red flags start to go off. Like, why are they being anonymous?
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Why would they not want to put their name on it? You know, and then I start to wonder, did they build this? Or maybe they stole this from someone and it's not even their product, you know, or who knows what. So I 100% agree. I will stay away from any products, premium products, things I have to pay money for and I want to bring to my clients, unless I know there's a team behind it and they're being public about it.
Well, that kind of leads me to my next, it's not really a question, it's more of an observation. And that is that every week I get email, because I run this podcast, from people who have a thing. They've built a thing and they're trying to get traction for the thing. And 90 times out of 100, I could have said 9 out of 10. I don't know why I didn't. It gets nowhere. How, you know, there's no traction. It, even if I pick it up, it doesn't sort of run. You, on the other hand, you announced this thing and I can't stop seeing it everywhere I go. Everybody's, I'm not joking, Brad, this is actually,
I love
truth.
To hear it. That's the marketing machine.
That's the marketing machine. But you know, something happened. You invented this. I mean, either the product is so stupendously brilliant and such a revolutionary thing that everybody thought, wow, this is worth retweeting or what have you. But I'm curious, like we were talking about the about and the heritage and the fact that, you know, you can trust this company. I think you've arrived at that beautiful spot where you've done so much work, you've got so much heritage, your back catalogue just shouts, look at what we did, you know, you've just done loads, that the minute you announce something new, it's just credible out the box. I'm not trying to blow your own trumpet for you, but I just did.
No, please keep going, Nathan. I appreciate it. This is great. I mean, it's an interesting question. And, you know, not one I guess I had thought about a little bit, because to be fair, I haven't been as public the last few years online. I haven't been as involved in social media, trying to get a little away from it, especially with politics, and trying to focus on non-doom and gloom every minute of my day. So I've been a little bit less public about just things and things I'm working on, but I wanted to change that because I always enjoyed being more out in public. I've always really loved doing podcasting and just talking tech and geeking out. You know, I've been doing this forever, so I enjoy doing that. So that being said, I didn't know if we would get a lot of traction with this. I think to your point, one of the reasons it's taken off and there's a lot of traction is it's an interesting idea that most people said, yeah, this makes a ton of sense. Why has no one done this before? So I feel like it's kind of clicking with a lot of people. Like, this is a need because we've all come across these type of projects or these type of sites, right? Classic editor. How do I get to the block editor without dropping a ton of money and spending, you know, months and months and whatever? So, you know, just understand that. And two, you're right. Just kind of having been around as long as we have, having been involved. We're not just a company that's been, you know, working with WordPress. We're very involved in WordPress and we have been from the start. So early on when nobody knew who we were, we just started, you know, going to events as WordCamp started to started to pop up and started to get a little more popular back in the day. We started going to events. And I've always been a really big fan of just like sharing, especially around technology, sharing knowledge and learning from others. I'm Gen X. I grew up learning to program in message boards, you know, in forums. Nice. And that's how we learned, right?
Yeah.
Like, we didn't have YouTube. We didn't have all these programming books. There was a few here and there. But we learned in message boards and I went from asking a bunch of questions to answering a bunch of questions over the years. Right. And I feel like that is what in some way really got me into open source, even though I didn't realize it, because that is open source, is like helping each other and working together. Right. So kind of understanding how to find that information out there and really get our name out there, but just getting involved, getting our name out there, speaking at events. I started a local meetup here in Philadelphia, I ended up helping co-organize and starting the first 5 WordCamp Philadelphias. Helped organize the first 2 WordCamp USs in Philadelphia. Helped organize the first couple WordSesh events way back when. Wrote a couple books on WordPress. You know, just like getting involved and geeking out on it and just, you know, podcasting for years and years and years. You know, but to your point, I think there certainly is credibility around a company like ours that have been around for a while, worked with these larger brands, you know, and have been around the space as long as we have. So I was excited to see the reaction because I honestly didn't know, because I haven't been putting as much stuff out there. So I'm like, maybe nobody cares what I'm doing anymore. No, maybe nobody cares what we're doing.
I'm telling you.
But clearly
a lot
people,
of people
do.
Care. It's really, I cannot avoid it. I mean, maybe it's sort of dying down now as people have kind of figured out what it is. But in the initial, as soon as you mentioned it, I mean, obviously we've all got our own Twitter feeds or whatever. And so the algorithm's kind of shaping that a little bit, but I couldn't avoid it. It was literally everywhere. And so you did a great job there, whatever the serendipitous nature of how that all works.
Still going, but it is an educational thing too. So it's important to kind of get out there and explain it to people and make sure they understand, because it's something that can do a lot of different things. And sometimes that's hard to market, right? So definitely kind of homing in on that classic, the Gutenberg experience. But as we talked about, there's just so many different options for it.
Mm-hmm. Let's get on to pricing, because we mentioned that. I just say, you don't need to look at the About Us page, dear listener. It's all fine. But we'll go to the pricing page because that bit is interesting. And this is also very interesting. This is something that did catch my attention, because you've definitely gone in on the more sort of, I don't know if this is like enterprise. I don't even know what I'm going to say here, but you're starting off at $299. Tell us around that. I think it's just the one website, but presumably you can move that
so
site.
Out of the box is, it's $299 a year per website. Per year.
Okay.
We are doing half off launch special. So if you're interested in checking it out, you know, get that down to about $150. And then we do $600 for up to 5 sites. So it is on the premium side in the WordPress space. Absolutely. And this is something internally we talked about, kind of went round and round about. You know, there's a lot of ways. It's interesting because there's so much. Pricing is such an interesting topic, right? And I researched a lot of other plugins, what people are doing, how they're doing it. It's funny because we sell another plugin that's like $99, but we do it every 6 months, and nobody talks about that price.
Oh,
but it's still $200 a year.
That's really interesting.
So I was debating, should I do like $150 every? But I was like, you know what? I just want to do annual. So this is a valuable tool, right? Like, there is a value to this tool, whether it's just you're buying it for yourself for your own website, or you're buying it for, certainly if you're buying it for a freelance to work with your clients, right? This is a tool you bring to your clients. One, get them to pay for it, right? But two, like I said, this can open up more work for you. You know, this brings options. I always talk to our clients about, we have a lot of tools in our back belt, right? But I don't want to tell you what tool we're going to use until we really understand your goals and what we're looking to accomplish. Because how can I say this is what we need to do when I don't even understand what you're trying to do, right? This is another tool in your bat belt, right? So if your client says, you really want to get the block editors, not sure how to get there, hey, I have an option, you know, client, $300 a year. And then we talk about what theme you want to do, and I'll help you set it up and integrate it, and off you go with blocks, right?
Yeah,
So it is on the more premium side. Is it, you know, is that going to last? Is it correct? I don't know, right? Like, we're just figuring this out. So I do want to get a lot of users going to get as much feedback as we can. So we're getting a pretty steep discount, half off. But we'll see, you know, it might evolve. But I think this is a professional tool, and we'll make sure that was clear. It's for people that are really looking to, you know, enhance their website.
It kind of strikes me that if you could use this as a migration tool, and then maybe if you just had the one license, if you were literally migrating a site and you were giving yourself, like, I don't know, this 3-month window to take site from classic to block, you could presumably, within that license, you could move it from one website to another. Is that possible under the licensing?
Yeah, absolutely. It just registers the main website. Okay. You know, we don't count dev sites, so local host, stuff like that, will not matter. But yeah, absolutely. It's just attached to the website. So if you wanted to do it, you know, for a client after a few months, you could easily, you know, re-register a new site for that license whenever you want. It's your license. It's not like locked into one single website. So you just tell us the site.
Yeah. So there's another option at the moment. So that was the theme switcher license, as it's called. Mm-hmm. The other option is agency, which is up to 5 websites. And currently that's being priced at $599. But if you do get in under the wire of, I think they're offering it 50% off for the first 50 or so, then obviously that will be quite considerably less. Themeswitcher.com/pricing is where you're going to find that. And I think I've run through all the questions that I was thinking needed to be asked. Did I miss anything? Is there any feature that I just didn't drag out of you?
I mean, I think you covered it pretty well. You know, definitely check out the site. We've been putting out more videos, and I plan to continue pushing on that because I just like really kind of short, sweet, impactful, you know, few minute videos. So we have a couple of videos on our YouTube channel that really, you know, again, within a couple minutes show exactly what we're doing here. So I have one video that's block to block theme and one video that's classic editor to block theme.
Nice.
By the second minute, you know, we're creating content with blocks, and we start from activating the plugin. So it's pretty cool to see how quickly that happens. So I'm going to keep pushing out more videos. So definitely check out, you know, Web Dev Studios on YouTube. Got a lot of documentation.
Oh, that was the other thing on the website. I did miss that. So the support, that was the other thing that I always mentioned.
Yeah. So we have a lot of documentation. We're going to continue to expand that. We have like an example plugin. So I mentioned you can custom code. We have an example plugin you can download.
Okay.
And it's got, you know, you can literally activate it and start using it, but it's a good jumping off point for that custom code stuff. So again, that comes with it. So yeah, just a lot on the website, but if anyone has any questions, I'm very, you know, very accessible, very approachable on Twitter, Blue Sky, wherever, just look me up, Brad Williams, LinkedIn. Happy to, even if it's just, if you want a quick 10 minute, you know, one-on-one demo session, I've been doing some of those as well. So,
oh, nice. Nice, you get that.
Yeah, because again, it's educational. Yeah, so
that's great. Yeah.
And we do have the white glove on the website. So if people are like, look, we want this, but we need someone to help us, that's where Web Dev Studios comes in, right? So we come in, and whether it's rebuilding the whole site, or we're working with a nonprofit now where, I mentioned just building out a new block theme with the header and footer that match, and then styling up the blocks. That's exactly what we're doing. And then we're going to hand it off to them, and they're going to start transitioning on their own. So it's a very kind of low cost effort to get a block theme for them that fits their branding, fits their website, and then they can kind of go off on their own and run with it. So
perfect.
Got a lot of options there, but if you need help, definitely reach out. We're here to help however we can.
Thank you so much. So once more, themeswitcher.com is the website, and go and check it out. There's loads of documentation, loads of support, and some YouTube channel, but as well, by the sounds of it, that you can check to see exactly how it is done. That's all we got then. In that case, Brad Williams, thank you very much for chatting to me today. I wish you all the best. I'm sure it'll be a great success.
Yeah, thanks so much, Nathan. This was a lot of fun.
Okay, that's all we've got time for. I hope you enjoyed listening to Brad talk about Theme Switcher Pro. If you've got any commentary on that, head to wpbuilds.com, search for episode number 424 and leave us a comment there. We'd really appreciate it. The WP Builds podcast is brought to you today by GoDaddy Pro. GoDaddy Pro, the home of managed WordPress hosting that includes free domain, SSL, and 24/7 support. Bundle that with the Hub by GoDaddy Pro to unlock more free benefits to manage multiple sites in one place, invoice clients, and get 30% off new purchases. Find out more at go.me/WPBuilds. We're also joined by Bluehost. Bluehost, redefine your web hosting experience with Bluehost Cloud, managed WordPress hosting that comes with lightning-fast websites, 100% network uptime, and 24/7 priority support. With Bluehost Cloud, the possibilities are out of this world. Experience it today at bluehost.com
/cloud. And also by Omnisend. Omnisend, do you sell your stuff online? Then meet Omnisend. Yes, that Omnisend, the email and SMS tool that helps you make $73 for every dollar spent. The one that's so good, it's almost boring. Hate the excitement of rollercoaster sales? Prefer a steady line going up? Try Omnisend today at omnisend.com. And sincere thanks go to GoDaddy Pro, Bluehost, and Omnisend for their ongoing and continuing support of the WP Bills podcast. Okay, that's very nearly the end of the episode. I've really appreciated having you around. Like I said, if you want to get in touch with me because you saw me at WordCamp Europe, really appreciate that. Over on X, it's at WP Builds, and on Blue Sky, NathanWrigley.com. Reach out. I would love to stay in touch. Don't forget also, if you want to find out about advertising, head to WPBuilds.com/advertise. Okie dokie, that really is it. It only remains for me to find some incredibly cheesy music and to fade it in. Here it comes. And I'm going to say, stay safe, have a good week. Bye-bye for now.